Dr. Bodkin, tell me about Mike.
Oh, Mike is, once again, a man with a lot of combat experience. He was a chopper pilot. And he's got a lot to say. He's he did ADCs with people lost in combat. He also did some profound work on some family losses as well. And I'll let him describe those.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for giving us your time. You were a chopper pilot, so one might think you might not have as many images as somebody like Youssef, who is on the ground. But you, too, struggle with things that you saw during Vietnam and these after-death communications help?
Absolutely. I certainly do. And we all have misconceptions about what exactly one person or another person experienced. But being a helicopter gunship pilot, my job was to seek the enemy and destroy him. And I personally was... Oh, I had visual images of 13 people that I killed up close and personal. Up close and personal is a little different than when people are on the ground.
Sure.
But being in the air, you actually see more. You know, when you, if you're 30, 40 yards from somebody doing 130 miles an hour, you know, you look them right in the face and one of you dies. And, you know, my job was to protect and to serve, to protect the troop transport helicopters and outposts and other things. And in the airfield that I, you know, we defended our airfield. So we caught quite a few people out in the open, you know, whole units out in the open. And in one particular case, I caught... four ships going down a canal that had been built by the Vietnamese only for military traffic. There, you had to have permission to be there, and these people didn't have permission to be there. So, I destroyed those ships. And
do you believe they were the enemy that you were destroying, or these were
non-combatants? There was some question. We called in. I flew in the Delta, which is the Fourth Corps, Well, I had a command and control with me at the time, which was normal, and that command and control called and to find out whether or not anybody had permission to be there, and specifically these four ships, and they did not. And then we called, to be certain, we called over to the town that actually, when they entered off the main Mekong River and entered this canal system, and it was called Chow Duck, and they had not given them permission. So, but to avoid the possibility of a civilian incident, I went down and flew 30 yards off the side of them, doing about 20 knots, very slowly. And I looked right in those people's eyes, and face to face. And what I saw was a bunch of eligible males, all functioning more like a unit with no Vietnamese flags of any kind and no Cambodian flags, because it's right along the Cambodian-Vietnamese border.
And so
I made that decision, I couldn't allow 900 guys of a battalion, reinforced battalion-sized unit, couldn't allow them to go to the Delta, so I made the decision to destroy those ships. And I had four other gunships. I was senior fire team leader of our gun platoon, which consisted of five armed gunships.
But it's not just giving the order for these other ships and these other pilots to pull the trigger.
Oh, no, I did it.
I was the first one
to go down and deny the enemy the use of those ships.
Right.
Okay, so it
so
was...
13 of them.
No, there were four ships, but there were about 900 people. But that was just on the top. And anyways, we destroyed the ships, and I made a pass, and then the four other gunships made a pass. Normally, we'd have made more than one pass, but it was so horrific, that I actually couldn't turn around and do it again. And a couple weeks later, the command and control guy said some of the people had made it down to the next outpost and that they were friendly. So it remained as an incident in my mind that, you know, even though I was 99% sure that 1% was enough to cause it to be a significant problem for me.
Well, I don't want to amplify it to torture you, but I just want to make sure that I understood that then of the survivors, the impression was that they had actually been friendlies all along.
Some of them, not
some
all.
Some of them, none of them. Yet at the beginning you talked about it and you said 13, in particular, 13 faces. 13
oh, no, yeah, 13. Kills. I killed 13 people up close and personal,
okay,
so to speak. And I became a medical pilot in later years, and I did that until I could save 13 people.
Until you could save 13.
Right. Yeah, just something to ease your sense of guilt, your sense of sadness. See, everyone has problems. It's a normal grieving process where,
sure,
first of all, you deny it. Second of all, you know, you get angry over it. Third of all,
start coming to terms with it.
You feel guilt, right, because of your anger, and then you feel profound sadness, and then you come to an acceptance. Well, with EMDR and induced after-death communication, see, with the normal grieving process, there is actually no real resolution, that just over time you accept that you're always going to have this pain, and it diminishes over time. But with EMDR and after-death communication, induced after-death communication, you get to go to talk to those people, and those people talk to you about, in this case, I had an after-death communication with two formations came up to me in military formation and stopped, and they were speaking in Vietnamese. Well, I didn't really understand them, but they didn't seem hostile. And then the next session I had, I could understand what they were saying. They were saying that they had done what they were supposed to do, and I did what I was supposed to do, and they accepted that, and it was okay. And then they broke formation and came over to me and was slapping me on the back and talking to me and telling me that, you know, they had a good life and I should not worry about them. You know what I mean? That it was okay. You know what I mean? And for me, that was a profound relief. I mean, not just relief, but I mean, I haven't had to re-experience this again as a result of it.
So
because there's been a resolution.